Half and Bruh.
Wow.
You need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
There is one main question.
Why are you guys on the Canucks?
But also, how can the Canucks win the Stanley Cup?
Go off, young king.
What? Record levels almost of house positivity. What?
Go off.
Yeah.
What?
Ben on second and goal is back to throw it. Throws for the goal line. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. Najee Harris from the slot left. In for the score. Wow. The snap is back. The ball is down. The kick by Boswell's on its way. Long enough. High enough. It's good. The Steelers go ahead with a minute and 29 seconds left. Play action fake. Smith wants to throw it. And he's going to run it. And the ball came out. The Steelers pick it up. And that is Devin Bush running around with the football. T.J. Watt stripped the ball away from quarterback Geno Smith.
Here's Boswell. This field goal from 37 yards out. It's up. And the game is over. And the Pittsburgh Steelers win in overtime. A heartbreaking way for the Seahawks to lose this game.
Can you put on the Canucks game?
As the final horn sounds, the game is over. And the Red Wings get their first win of the season on home ice. They take down the Canucks 3-1 tonight at Little Caesars Arena.
I didn't understand a one word you said.
Ron, are you okay? Ron.
Here are your hosts, Mike Alford and Jason Bruff.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:02 on a Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. It is Alfred. It is Bruff. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
I'm good.
No time for niceties. No time for niceties. I don't care how your guys' weekends were. It doesn't even matter.
Rainy.
Good enough. We have a lot to get into on this program today on Sportsnet 650. There's a million things that went on in the world of sports over the weekend, so we'll get to all that. We have a big show ahead. We're right in the throes of Canuck fandom here. House of Positivity poll question. Two games in the books. Another big week ahead.
Three, actually.
Three games in the books. Big week ahead. Seahawks played on the weekend. There was a ton of NFL stories. Ton of stories from around the National Hockey League. So we have a lot to get into. Why don't we start with that House of Positivity poll question? It's up now, the Loon, at Sportsnet 650 on Twitter. It is the Regal Grooming Lounge poll question. Whose play has been more impressive over the first three games?
Two options here. Connor Garland or Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
I see what you did here.
Yeah. The two big acquisitions from the Arizona Coyotes. Connor Garland came in, and everyone was excited when that trade went down because they're like, oh, yeah, that guy's a good player. And yet, maybe didn't have the greatest preseason early on, and even in the regular season, people were like, I thought this guy was supposed to be really good. We saw in Detroit on Saturday night that he is a good player, and he is a very involved player. He's a very competitive player, and he's going to be a fan favorite here in Vancouver. The other option is Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who we heard way more about than Connor Garland, because there was no big debate about Connor Garland. People were excited about Garland. People were less excited about Ekman-Larsson and his big contract. He's been solid so far. He's been good. He's looked good. It's not just actually, you may not think he's been playing well, but his analytics suggest, like, he's just been good. When you watch him play, he's got a hop and a step. He's been physical. He's a smooth skater.
Playing a
lot. So here is the House of Positivity poll question. Who's been more impressive? I voted for Ekman-Larsson just because of expectations. Is that fair to Garland? No, not really. But I had no idea what to expect from Oliver Ekman-Larsson. In the back of my mind, I was wondering if this was going to be a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been. So I'm going to vote for him, and he's getting 56% of the vote.
That is the daily poll question brought to you by Regal Grooming Lounge. Perfect for the man who always wants to stay sharp. Visit them online at regalgrooming.ca. Okay, what's coming up on the show today, you may be asking? Well, I'll tell you. 6:30, Brendan Batchelor is going to join us, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canucks. we'll get the reaction from a, I would say, surprisingly eventful game Saturday night in Detroit. I got to admit, I wasn't expecting much in the way of drama and theatrics and emotion. The two teams don't see each other that often. There's no long-standing rivalry.
It seemed like Detroit was taking out its frustrations or trying to prove something against the Canucks, something that happened against Colorado involving Dylan Larkin.
Tampa Bay. It was that wild 7-6 game that they had.
So, you know, the game that got Dylan Larkin suspended, it seemed like they were doing the big old stick-up-for-everyone routine.
Mm-hmm. The Wolfpack per 60, off the charts.
And the Canucks were like, hey, what's going on with you guys?
It was wildly entertaining. Yeah, it was a fun game to watch.
Canucks should have won. They deserve to win.
To be honest, all three games this year for entertainment value have been pretty high. So Brendan Batchelor at 6:30 to join us as we look ahead to the potential come down for said entertainment value next game against Buffalo.
I don't want to excite anyone.
Okay.
But over 7,000 people are expected in Buffalo on Tuesday. The place is going to be rocking.
Those numbers compared with all the other arenas are shocking.
They're not shocking because they're Buffalo.
But
why would you buy tickets to watch that team?
Because you were 2 years out of a pandemic and you haven't been out and gone to a live sporting event.
You're not depressed enough? You got the Bills.
I'm just saying. I just looked at some of the other attendance figures in the NHL, and I thought they'd at least be at 60 to 75%.
I have your answer, by the
way. They're sub-50. Yes.
You go because you're a visiting fan.
You could do that, too.
I would not pay 75 cents to go watch Buffalo versus Arizona on a Saturday afternoon in Buffalo.
That was a bad game. But the Buffalo Sabres are on fire, too. They can't be beat. 7 o'clock, Mike Tannier is going to join us, our football insider from Football Outsiders. We're going to go around the National Football League, a ton of big stories. You maybe saw it, maybe you didn't, but the Seahawks, oh so agonizingly close, but fall short in overtime on Sunday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers beats the Bears. The Cards stay perfect. They're at 6-0. A lot of big stories. We'll get into all of those with Mike Tannier from Football Outsiders at 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock, Jason. Nice little get, courtesy of Dom on a Sunday. Abbotsford Canucks general manager Ryan Johnson is going to join us on the program.
The baby Canucks won last night, their first game ever in Ontario. No, not that Ontario.
The other Ontario.
The Sons of Anarchy division in the AHL, where you'll go through all the towns that you hear about in Sons of Anarchy.
Speaking of that, correct me if I'm wrong, someone can do the research here, but I'm pretty sure that the Kraken's AHL entity, it's supposed to be in Palm Springs, right?
It will be, yes.
It will eventually.
I think they're going to be called the Coachella Valley. Okay. So that's very Sons of Anarchy. You can loop through there, catch a concert, and then go back to the rest of the Sons of Anarchy.
Was that in Sons or Lot?
Did
they go to the concert or something?
They did. They hung out. They went to Joshua Tree. Anyway.
All right.
Before we get to what happened over the weekend, recap that. Ryan Johnson, Abbotsford Canucks general manager, that's at 8. Mike Tannier is at 7. Brendan Batchelor is at 6:30. Before we get to any of that, we do need to pay some bills. Tell you about the fine folks at the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are also brought to you by shopintercity.ca. Steakhouse quality meals delivered to your doorstep anywhere in Greater Vancouver. If you use promo code SPORTSNET20, you'll get $20 off your first order. Visit them, shopintercity.ca. That is everything that's coming up on the program today. Now, Dom, let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
Steve from PG, I imagine that's Prince George, or probably, no, maybe Point Grey.
Could be.
Texted into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650, says, hey, what a crap weekend for Pacific Northwest sports. Well, what about the Whitecaps? No love for the Whitecaps? They beat Kansas City.
Huge win for the Caps.
Did they play?
Yes. Last night. 2-1.
You were watching the Seahawks. Everyone else was watching the Seahawks.
I watched it.
I believe you. Yeah, of course you did. Yep. Everyone else lost, though. Like, the Canucks lost.
Yes.
The Seahawks lost. The Lions got smoked.
Yeah, obliterated
by the Stamps at BC Place. man, they are not doing well at home. The Huskies lost.
Yep.
Like, everyone in the Pacific Northwest lost.
But you
except
respect,
for the Whitecaps.
Gotta respect those Whitecaps. We're going to start, obviously, with the Vancouver Canucks. As mentioned earlier, a very entertaining, albeit disappointing, 3-1 loss in Detroit on Saturday. Multiple storylines to come from this one. If you're looking for reasons why, or reason why, the Canucks lost that game, Thomas Greiss, 40 saves. I believe it was 23 in the third period, a 3-1 win. That was it. That was the story. Other stories of note, Connor Garland scored. Connor Garland also made a huge impact on the game. We'll get to that in a second. Yaroslav Halak made his Canucks debut, 18 saves in a game in which he was kind of a non-factor and not really a story.
Obviously, he got cold.
Obviously overshadowed by what was going on at the other end of the ice, because the Canucks were, it was very, very tilted, the ice in the third period.
I would like to apologize for my jinx tweet. This is why, first of all, there are some people that actually get genuinely upset at this stuff, and I find it very entertaining, and it is why we have a problem in society with magical thinking. That being said, I do apologize for the tweet. Early on in the game, the Canucks were dominating. And so the sad club commish, that's me on Twitter,
yeah,
decides, you know, hey, I'll be positive for once about the Canucks. And I said something like, wow, the Canucks look better than the Red Wings. And then approximately 0.4 seconds later, against the flow of play, the Red Wings scored.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
And Dom's drops.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. A lot of people got angry at me. But I was happy to take the pressure off the boys.
Furta. He did it, Furta.
What?
That's Furta boys.
Oh, okay.
You did it for them. You took the bullets for the Canucks.
But they did look, overall, the Canucks were the better team. Now, the Red Wings were missing Dylan Larkin. But if you look at this lineup, it's not very good. Thomas Greiss was the reason that the Red Wings were able to get 2 points out of that game.
But one of the bigger talking points was just how feisty and just how much animosity there was between the two teams. Everything really sort of came to a head when Connor Garland reverse hit Filip Zadina, and everything went off after that. So if you missed the sequence during the game, initially called for a 5-minute elbowing major, which I guess in real time it looked as though it may have been. When they slowed it down and looked at it, Garland actually reverse hit Zadina, with Zadina reaching for the puck. And then for some inexplicable reason, the hit is not wiped off the board and the penalty is not wiped off the board. Garland still ends up serving a minor on the play, which is just a bizarre set of circumstances. No real explanation why. I don't want to get on a huge rant here because we have a million things to cover, but the refereeing on Saturday was comical. Comically bad.
It was that play and then missed a couple more penalties that should have been on Detroit.
A series of stupid even-up calls. There was an altercation between Bertuzzi and Oliver Ekman-Larsson as well, that culminated with Ekman-Larsson getting called for a slash when it was maybe a spear, but not a slash, but I digress. It felt as though there was game management going on all night. There were even-ups going on all night. And I'm never one of those people that likes to fall back on the officiating. I don't think that's the reason that the Canucks lost. I don't think that the Canucks have this conspiracy being levied against them by the NHL or the NHL officiating crews.
No, but they were on the wrong side of the calls on Saturday. I just say that. That happens sometimes.
Yeah, I just think that overall, if you had taken that officiating crew and their performance and put it in any NHL game over the course of an 82-game regular season, I would have laughed and said, this is embarrassingly bad. And because it's quintessentially NHL, they love evening things up.
All that being said, when... Okay, that's enough. When the Canucks are playing this season, they got to win the special teams battles, and they lost it. They were 0-for-3 on the power play. Probably should have had some more power plays. No, definitely should have had some more power plays.
Yep.
Only gave the Red Wings 2, again, disciplined, but the Red Wings scored the winning goal on the power play. This PK, we've talked about it. We said we're worried about it. Mm-hmm. And we're right to be worried about it. It doesn't look very good. They've given up 3 power play goals against, and I think they've only been shorthanded like 7 times. It's not very good. And they need to figure it out.
One of the guys taking said penalties on Saturday night was, oddly enough, one of the guys we're most focused on, Connor Garland, as we circle around all the Canucks stories that emanated from Saturday. So I had a question for you when I saw the notes come in last night. Did you expect this style of play and what he's done thus far from Connor Garland? Because I think we're all impressed.
Yes, that's exactly the style that I expected.
Yeah.
Connor Garland, you know, we joke about, well, we don't know what these guys look like because we never watch Coyotes games. It's not exactly true. If you watched a Coyotes game over the last couple of seasons, you would have been blind to not notice Connor Garland. And I love this quote from Travis Green. And this is the type of player that the Canucks need to get. And this here I'm going to read this quote.
Do you want to hear the quote?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I want to read it. This is why I ripped Jake. This is why I ripped Goldie. This is why I said those guys are not guys that you can win with and that you want on your team despite their various skills. This is Travis Green. Competitive guys go to hard places and they get involved around the puck and do whatever it takes to win. You can't have enough players that are ultra competitive, and that's what we look for in players. And you're starting to see it, especially with the forward group that mm-hmm. the Canucks have. And Tyler Mott still has to return to the lineup, and there's a chance that Will Lockwood is going to get called up at some point this season. Those are the types of guys. If you have, your skill players, like even Pettersson is a competitive guy.
Yep.
Right? Like, is he the strongest guy in the world? No, but he's competitive. And if you have 10 of those guys among your 12 forward groups, you're going to have a good group.
Okay, we got a bunch of other things we need to roll into here. A reminder that Brendan Batchelor, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canucks right here on Sportsnet 650, will be joining us in about 13 minutes' time. We'll dive a little deeper into all these stories and look ahead to the Buffalo game. Real quick, we should mention off ice, a very newsworthy story that popped up late overnight Saturday night and into Sunday. The son of Vancouver Canucks general manager Jim Benning was hospitalized following an alleged assault outside a Yaletown night spot early Sunday morning. Danica Benning, Jim Benning's daughter, posted on Instagram that her brother was attacked by 4 men while her and her brother were waiting for an Uber outside the Banter Room on Mainland Street. A Vancouver police spokesperson confirmed that officers were called to an assault in progress around 2:00 in the morning. And then as the reporters from the Vancouver province who first reported this story put it together, Benning has 2 sons. It wasn't said which one was attacked. However, the age of the victim lines up with the youngest of the 2 sons, Nicholas. So we're putting that story out there. There was no confirmation in any way whatsoever whether this was a targeted attack or a completely random attack, whether this had anything to do with the identities of the people that were attacked.
Yeah.
So, but we are putting the story out there, if only because we're running down everything that happened over this weekend, and it was a pretty prominent story that came to light on Sunday.
Let's just wait for some more details to emerge on this. Obviously, it's a terrible act. Obviously, we hope it didn't have anything to do with the fact that this was Jim Benning's son. But I think it's very dangerous to assume anything about this, regardless of whether or not it has anything to do with it being Jim Benning's son. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible act. But I think most people listening have been downtown in Vancouver, had a night out, and seen incidents like this happening. So let's not jump to conclusions.
Right.
But let's also say that this is unacceptable. And And hope that Jim Benning's son recovers.
Very well said. On the subject of the Canucks, we continue again, but it's not off the ice. It's not to do with the NHL club. It's the American League team. The Abbotsford Canucks won their first ever game on Sunday, defeating the Ontario Reign, not that Ontario, 3-2 in a shootout. Obviously, it went scoreless through regulation and through the overtime. Phil DiGiuseppe, the only player to score in the shootout, he emerges the hero. Other heroes, Danila Klimovic, the Canucks, not first-round pick, but first pick at this most recent draft. And, of course, Arturs Silovs in net. A stellar effort from him. So congratulations to the Abbotsford Canucks. We threw this into what happened in part because their general manager, Ryan Johnson, is going to join us on the program at 8 o'clock so we can talk to him about the weekend set, what's it like now that the team has moved from Utica to Abbotsford, and then all these guys that are, I would assume, chomping at the bit to get to the NHL club. No longer baby Canucks. They want to get up to the big team.
I really want to talk about Klimovic.
Yeah.
First of all, how do you pronounce his name, right?
Klimovic.
Klimovic. And also, what's the plan for him and why the AHL as opposed to the original? I don't want to say it was a plan, but a lot of people expected him to go to Major Junior and play in the Q. So why did the Canucks decide for Klimovic to go to Abbotsford?
Okay, as we move along, we're really hitting all the notes here and what happened. The Seattle Seahawks, you heard the majority of it in the intro, but just to recap, Chris Boswell, 36-yard field goal with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left in a very lame overtime, quite frankly. Steelers win 23-20. Geno Smith with the key fumble, or if you're a Steelers fan, TJ Watt with the key turnover late in the overtime session, set up the Boswell field goal. Do we have Geno taking ownership like the good leader that he is? Here's Geno Smith after the costly fumble and another loss for the Seahawks, who are now 2-4 on the year.
Gosh, man, I hate coming up short. I love the way our line played, man. They really set the tone in that second half. Really gave us a chance to come back and win it. That last drive, man, you know, that's all I was thinking, man. Just take us down there and score somehow, some way. And we can't keep coming up short. I can't keep coming up short. I put that on myself. Back-to-back weeks, our defense gives us a chance to go out there and score. Give me the ball. We don't get it done. You know, that's solely on me. I vow to be better.
This was not a terrific masterpiece of a game. It was exciting, but the play from both quarterbacks, Geno Smith, the Seahawks aren't going to have the same game plan with Geno Smith as they would with Russell Wilson. And on the other side, you got Ben Roethlisberger, who maybe shouldn't play that much more in his career.
The large fork protruding from his back.
Yeah, I don't want to sit there and tell anyone when to retire, but I haven't watched a lot of Steelers games over the last few years, and watching Roethlisberger, my thought was like, maybe the Seahawks can win this game with Geno Smith at quarterback, because he doesn't look very good. I mean, both quarterbacks, how many throws downfield did they make? It was a lot of dink and dunk, and there was a lot of running. Mm-hmm. That's how the Seahawks got back in the game. Credit to Alex Collins. Came out on fire in the second half after the Seahawks went into the second half down 14-0. The Seahawks made a game of it.
Yep.
I was willing to get a little bit excited.
Did they draw you back in?
Not 100%. Oh. But here's what I was imagining. I was imagining that the Seahawks win that game and they go to 3-3. And then maybe they split their next two Monday night against the Saints in Seattle, and then they've got Jacksonville coming to town, and, you know, me at quarterback might have a chance for the Seahawks to beat the Jags, even though the Jags
did
get off the schneid this weekend. And then I was thinking, okay, if they can get to 4-4 heading into their bye week in week 9, and then Russell Wilson returns, maybe they can go on a run. But I just keep coming back to the fact that they're just not very good.
No.
Like, overall, did their defense play better than they have this? Yes, they did play better, but they still barely got to Roethlisberger. Like, I think they got one hit on Roethlisberger, right? And Jamal Adams, he still isn't making an impact. There's still mistakes being made by the Seahawks. DK Metcalf, get out of bounds, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it is stuff like that. I know it ultimately didn't come back to cost them, but I just look at the team and they're like, even with Russell Wilson, I don't think they're a very good team.
No, and now you're watching a series of backups try and hang around in football games, and you see a very conservative very conservative approach, especially on offense, which is what you have to do with Geno Smith. I do want to mention before we go to break here, there was a very scary moment in that game with 3 minutes and 10 seconds left in regulation. Linebacker Daryl Taylor suffered what appeared to be a pretty serious neck or spinal injury trying to make a tackle. He was put on board, stretchered off. Early reports are positive. That was according from Pete Carroll. And NBC reported that Taylor had movement and feeling in all of his extremities, but a very scary incident, which took an awfully long time. Obviously, all the precautions needed to stretcher off a player. So hopefully we'll get more news on Daryl Taylor today, because on the field, it did look extremely scary, and you saw a lot of concern on a lot of the players' faces. Okay, hey, good job this morning. Monday, it's tough coming in here and getting everything taken care of, but we had Seahawks, we did Abbotsford Canucks, NHL Canucks. We really got to a lot in what happened. And coming up, we're going to talk to Brendan Batchelor. More Canucks on your home of the Canucks. Batch is going to join us to break down everything that happened in Detroit, his thoughts from the first three games of the year, and then, of course, we'll look ahead to the next game against the Buffalo Sabres. It's a big show. It's a Monday. There's a lot to get to, so we will get to it. You're listening to Halford and Brough on Sportsnet 650. Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. It was a very, very wet weekend. We can decompress a little bit now. We can talk about our weekends. We can make small talk, office banter, if you will. I had a soccer game on Friday night and then another one on Saturday morning. So I basically stood around in the rain for 3 hours on Friday night, went home and showered, got up, showered, and then went out and stood in the rain again for a few hours. So I was basically...
Were you showering to clean yourself or to warm yourself up?
To warm myself up. I was basically wet for like 12 hours. Like, I know when I went to sleep, I was still damp. Moist, if you will.
I'm looking at the forecast as well, and I think we get a slight reprieve from some of the rain.
Oh, good.
And then on Wednesday, it starts again.
Oh, no.
And it goes for like a week.
People always say,
you've never been to Vancouver? I'm like, yeah, I have been to Vancouver. Sometimes October is nice.
Yeah, and it doesn't rain every day on the calendar. Sometimes it does. We got Brendan Batchelor, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canucks, going to join us here in a second on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. I do need to remind you that Halford and Brough in the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are also brought to you by shopintercity.ca. Steakhouse quality meals delivered to your doorstep anywhere in Greater Vancouver. Use promo code SPORTSNET20 at checkout, and you'll get $20 off your next order. What?
What?
What was that?
Could you repeat that?
SPORTSNET20 at checkout, and get, what did I say?
That's a hell of an order. That's a hell of a deal.
$20 off your first order or next order. All right. I thought that was Jason talking, but it was you playing Jason's voice.
He's not very good, is he?
Jason didn't have his microphone on, but his voice was in my ear. It was very confusing. I'm going to settle down now. I'm going to move along. We're going to be joined now by the play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canucks, Brendan Batchelor, here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Batch?
Not too much, guys. How's it going?
Things are well. We've been talking a lot in the intro about the two guys that came over from the Arizona Coyotes in the big offseason trade, Connor Garland and Oliver Ekman-Larsson, but more of a focus on the former. And I think that's because Garland has been garnering a lot of attention himself. Guys are calling him all kinds of names, some mean, some not so nice. But it kind of shows the impact that he's making, not just with the production, 3 points in three games. He really seems to have an ability to get himself involved in games, get himself under the skin of opponents. What have you seen? What are some of your takeaways of Garland's game through these first three games as a Canuck?
Yeah, exactly that. That a guy that was pretty quiet in the preseason and pretty critical of his own play as well, has come to play once the puck has been dropped for real here in the regular season. And this is the kind of player that the Canucks thought they were getting when they acquired him as part of the Ekman-Larsson trade. A guy that can be an energizer bunny, can get under the skin of opponents, but can get to the middle of the ice and create opportunities and score goals too. So the fact that he's come as advertised, if not maybe a little bit more so, especially after everything that happened in the game here in Detroit the other night, it's a good sign for things to come for the Canucks, I think it's fair to say.
Has anything surprised you about this Canucks team? And the reason I ask you that question is, nothing has really surprised me about this Canucks team, except for maybe Ekman Larson. Ekman Larson has been better than I expected, but overall, as a team, I think we went into this season and we went, this is a good group of forwards. They should be able to produce, if not goals galore, at least chances, and they should be able to play an entertaining style. But then you worry about the odd defensive breakdown, you worry about their penalty killing, and especially the penalty killing, that's kind of how it's played out, has it not?
Yeah, it has. I would say I think they've been better defensively at 5-on-5 than maybe I expected them to be, although they have had their moments where they've been hemmed in and struggled in that regard. But a big part of that has been the two new defensemen, Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Tucker Poolman, and how well I think both of them have played to this point, especially a guy like Poolman, who was penciled in as a third-pairing guy, you'd have to imagine, when the Canucks were expecting Travis Hamonic to be back with the group. And certainly that hasn't happened, but in that elevated role, he's done pretty well here through a handful of games. And, you know, I agree with Ekman-Larsson, with all the talk about his contract coming in and, you know, the underlying numbers of his last few years, I wasn't entirely sure what to expect. But to me, he's been the Canucks' best defenseman defensively. And that is huge for this group. I know you've talked about it, Jason, where, you know, as the Canucks were going to go this year, it might be tied to how Oliver Ekman-Larsson goes. And thus far, he's been very strong. And as a result, they've had three pretty good games where, realistically, they could have won all three of them.
We're speaking to Brendan Batchelor, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canucks, here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Batch, that Detroit game, we talked about it a lot in the intro as well. Surprisingly feisty, filled with emotion, and nasty at times. I'd say poorly officiated, but I'll leave that for a little while anyway. When you were coming into this one, did that catch you by surprise? Because the Canucks were in the second of a back-to-back. There's not a ton of history there, especially with this group of Detroit Red Wings. But that seemed like two teams that genuinely did not like each other by the end of regulation.
Yeah, it was funny because Drancer and I were chatting in the media room before the game about what to expect, and we both sort of thought that it might be like a sleepy 1-0, 2-1 quiet game. Canucks on the second half of a back-to-back. Red Wings didn't have Dylan Larkin because of the suspension and, aren't expected to be a very good team this year as well. But in fact, the fact that Dylan Larkin wasn't in the game, I think, was a big factor as to why the Red Wings, you know, brought that level of intensity, because they were frustrated about the way things had gone with that incident with Matthew Joseph of the Lightning on Thursday, and Larkin getting the suspension, potentially being injured here now for a bit as well. And, you know, they wanted to show, I guess, that they're willing to stick up for each other and that they're not going to be a team that's going to be pushed around. So when they had the perceived slight of the Garland collision with Zadina, and I call it a collision because I didn't even think it should have been a 2-minute penalty, you know, let alone they called it a major and then reviewed it. And then the Red Wings kind of became unhinged the rest of the third period as they, you know, sought to bring a bit of justice that they felt maybe they hadn't received from the referee. So I wasn't expecting that from this game, but in hindsight, thinking about what had led up to it with the Larkin situation on Thursday, and you can understand why the Red Wings maybe wanted to prove a point, and it was just the Canucks that were the next team up that came through their building.
So three games in, and I think for the most part, fans and the media and other observers they've been pretty complimentary of the way the Canucks have played. If they haven't got the results in all the games, but they've been entertaining at the very least. But at the same time, they haven't won in regulation yet. They only have one win, so they got to be licking their chops heading into Buffalo and maybe especially Chicago. those two teams, you know, we all know about Buffalo, but Chicago might be off to the most disastrous start in the NHL this season. Batch, I kind of want to ask a Batch question here. How important is it for the Canucks to get some actual, like, legit wins on this road trip?
They absolutely have to. You know, as much as from a process standpoint, you have to like the first three games, and Travis Green has talked about the fact that, you know, maybe with the exception of one period or a couple of short stretches in games, he's liked his team's game. But we all know about the expectations for this team this season, that moral victories or, well, we played well, but it didn't go our way, you know, isn't going to be acceptable more often than not because of where everybody expects this team to be, which is back in the playoffs. So on a six-game road trip like this, playing teams that are not expected to be good, like Detroit, like Chicago, like Buffalo, you have to get results. You know, they're 500 through three games, right? They've got the 3 points. They have to be at least that in the second half, probably better. You want to come back from this road trip against these kinds of teams with a winning record and bring some momentum back for the home opener on the 26th. So, you know, the next two games in particular, and then finishing up with a divisional matchup against Seattle to wrap it up, you know, this is a pretty important three-game stretch for the Canucks to try and ensure that they have some positive momentum and do get rewarded for all the good things they've done to this point. So, yeah, it's a critical stretch for them. You know, it's early in the season, so I don't want to put too much stock in it and say, you know, if they lose three in a row, they can't come back from it. But, you know, building momentum with a new group, with the number of new players it'll be critical for them here over the next few games.
Batch, what's it been like to be back in arenas with fans? It seemed pretty wild, especially in Philly on Friday night.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And, you know, especially in Philly with the crowd getting into it and the late comeback. You know, JT Miller said it best when he talked about how he took a second before the overtime, even though his team had just coughed up the 2-goal lead, to really appreciate the atmosphere that, you know, he was getting ready to play in overtime. And it's been the same for, you know, me calling games from the booth, where, you know, we called a ton of games from studios in Vancouver or in empty buildings at Rogers Arena. So to have that back, you know, it's what the game's all about. It didn't feel the same last year. It didn't feel right. It was something that we had to do to get a season in. But to have things closer to normalcy and, to be honest, feeling almost the same as they did before the pandemic in the United States anyway, it is exciting to have these sorts of games happening. And, you know, even in Detroit the other night, where the crowd was really getting into it, getting on the referees, and to a certain extent, I'm sure that fed some of the emotions that we saw on the ice too. So the crowd does play a big factor, and, you know, it's pretty cool to be back in full buildings.
It's the Canucks and the red hot Buffalo Sabres tomorrow, 4 o'clock puck drop. You'll hear Batch on the call. Hey, Batch, thanks a lot for doing this today, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy the next couple days. Enjoy the rest of the trip. We'll do this again next week.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Brendan Batchelor, voice of the Canucks, here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. You're listening to the Halford and Brough Show.
The Sabres are undefeated.
2-0. Can't be beat.
They smoked the Habs in their season opener 5-1, and then in front of at least 2,000 people.
Yeah.
On Saturday morning. Saturday morning, Vancouver. Saturday afternoon in Buffalo. Beat Arizona 2-1 in a shootout. Ooh, what a game that must have been. I watched 5 minutes and I was like, I like their uniforms.
Your boy Vejmelka was in net.
Was he?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Vejmelka. Did we ever figure out the proper pronunciation of his name? You're usually good at this kind of thing, Dom.
I said Vejmelka.
Oh, okay. I like Vejmelka better.
Veg, for sure.
Okay, we got a lot more to get to.
By the way, the Habs are struggling.
Habs are off to a bad start.
The Jets are off to a bad start.
And as you mentioned, the Chicago Blackhawks are off to a terrible start. So much so that our good buddy, Mark Lazarus, almost said Lazarus, okay. Mark Lazarus, of the Athletic Chicago, wrote a big piece already. 3 games in, he said, it's not time to panic, but this team looks terrible. after three losses.
Are there odds on first coach to be fired anywhere that I can find? Because Jeremy Colleton is a great bet at this point.
I will look those up at the break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, so don't go anywhere. It's your home of the Canucks, Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650.
The official financial sponsor of Halford and Bruff is ZLC Financial. It's your one-stop solution for all your financial and retirement needs in Vancouver. They do everything. Tax planning, financial planning, employee benefits, wealth accumulation, wealth preservation. To learn more, visit ZLC.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask.
.647 on a Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. It's Halford. It's Bruff. It's Sportsnet 650. I think we're settled in now. I think we're in a good groove. That was a very eventful first 47 minutes of the show. There was a lot that happened this weekend. We didn't necessarily bury anything, but there was a lot of stories that we didn't even necessarily get to. We didn't get to the rest of the NFL. We really kind of focused on the Seahawks and their Sunday Night Football loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We barely mentioned the BC Lions, 39-10, a very disappointing loss for the aforementioned Lions at home.
I know this is unfair to keep saying, but I think what strikes me is how little people talk about these games now.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is due to the pandemic and everyone getting used to the fact that games are happening again. But I wonder how many of our listeners knew that they had a game.
It's a great question. We have Mike Riley on the show to preview said game. And I was kind of like, I hope that this resonates. But at the same time, this entire weekend, really, if you look at it, should have been a coronation, a really like positive resumption of sports in the Lower Mainland and in British Columbia, because
People are very focused on the Canucks.
The Canucks were in action, the Giants were in action, the Whitecaps were in action, the Lions were in action. So all of our local squadrons, and even if you want to extend it to the Pacific Northwest, were all in action. But I will say this, the Canucks dominated the conversation for a variety of reasons. But I think right now, people are very excited and very interested to see where this goes from here. Because in a very uncharacteristic moment for Canucks fans, there's a lot to be positive and excited about.
Well, I was excited about the Lions heading into the season, and they had some good performances early on, and they had this great opportunity to create some positive momentum, to give their fans a show with a bunch of big home games, and they've lost them all. And now they're in jeopardy of missing the playoffs, right? They're 4-5. After three straight losses. So at one point, they had a pretty good record of 4-2. And again, they had this opportunity with games at home against the Riders, the Bombers, and the Stamps. You understand them losing to the Bombers. They nearly beat the Riders. That was a good game. I don't know what happened against the Stamps to get blown out to that degree, but it's not good for the team. It's not good for marketing. It's not good for, certainly wasn't good for Mike Riley.
I believe they got beat in all three facets because Calgary scored touchdowns on offense, on defense, and with special teams. So that old cliche where, you know, you got to win all three phases. The Lions emphatically lost all three in a 39-10 loss. Real quick, Whitecaps played last night. Their games really matter now because this team is fully immersed in a playoff chase. A 2-1 win against a Sporting Kansas City side, one of the top clubs in MLS. So when the second half of the schedule came out and you saw where the teams were aligned in the standings, you knew this stretch for the Whitecaps was going to be difficult because they had those games with Seattle and with Sporting KC, two of the best teams in the conference.
KC always seems to dominate Vancouver.
And last night, the Whitecaps finally got a result against Sporting KC. Russell Tybert with a terrific goal, which eventually stood as the game winner. So looking at it very quickly, Whitecaps have five games remaining. They are 1 point back of the playoffs. All these games are going to matter, so they're playing meaningful games down the stretch in the hopes of making the postseason.
I'm always scared of hyping up Whitecaps games.
I'm just saying they matter.
Have you noticed that whenever we hype up a Whitecaps game, like, this is a big game? They always seem to lay an egg.
Wednesday in Portland.
Wednesday in Portland, Saturday in San Jose, and this is the big one, October 27th, Wednesday at home to Minnesota, the team that they're in this battle with for the seventh. The seventh, that's right, seventh and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. I'm terrified to hype that game up.
Don't. Just say it's a big
game. It's not going to be very good.
There you go. The reverse bruff jinx. Also, finally, before we go to break, the baseball. Where is it on your radar right now? Because the series are very entertaining. The games are quite good. As a matter of fact, the two games between the Braves and the Doyers has been excellent. Not if you're a Doyers fan.
I think last night it just got squeezed out by the Seahawks game, because the Seahawks game was more entertaining than I thought it would be.
Two TVs set up. I went buy local, shop local, so I had the White Caps on. Mm-hmm. And then I also had the Seahawks on. Baseball got relegated to phone status. It was on the phone. That's where it was yesterday.
Is it somewhat unfair that the Dodgers don't have home field advantage against the Braves?
Correct. But
no.
It's a 2-3-2, right? This one?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a 2-3. I'm pretty sure it's a 2-3-2.
But they don't have home field
advantage.
But
they don't have the home field advantage.
No. Why is it unfair?
Because they had way more wins.
They didn't win their division.
They
didn't win their division.
110 wins.
Why is it unfair? Because they had a better record? Yeah, Dom, that's why.
They should reset everything to overall standings after a while. You win the division, you get the home field?
Yeah.
Okay. Can't argue with that logic. So I was paying attention very briefly. And then on Saturday,
The Dodgers' fault was not being in the Braves' division.
That's right. The worst division in baseball.
credit to the Braves. They're up now.
Now, the Sox game on Saturday was also wildly entertaining, but that got relegated to secondary, dare I say.
Was it wildly entertaining? Wasn't it like 8-0 after two innings?
They had two grand slams in the first
I get
two
those
innings.
Parts. Yeah, entertaining,
that was it was very entertaining to watch grand slams.
Do you know what I love? I love watching the faces of the fans at the game when, you know, it's a big playoff game. You've probably spent a lot of money to be there, and you're looking up at the scoreboard and you're like, ha, my team's losing 8-0.
Longingly.
I could have done something else.
What's coming up on the show, you might be asking. 7 o'clock hour, we're going to get into all the NFL. You'll notice that we put the NFL on the back burner in this first hour. That was strategic. Mike Tannier, our NFL insider from Pro Football Outsiders, is going to join us. We'll talk about everything that went on non-Seahawks related. I think you know what we should do? We should make a pact to not ask Mike about this Seahawks-Steelers game, because we did enough. We talked enough about it. I think we said that all that needs to be said about it.
Yeah. I don't know what to feel about the Seahawks right now. In some ways, I think in the back of my mind, what do you call that? Your subconscious? Like, I'm really upset. But, like, forward thinking, I'm like, the team isn't very good.
Yeah. There's no need to be upset.
Yeah.
They got a backup. They had their backup quarterback and their backup running back in yesterday, and they still made a game of it against a very average Steelers team.
But it's over, right? It's over?
Oh, yeah.
Season's over.
So stick a fork in them. They're done. Mike Tannier is going to join us next. Jags win. Cards move to 6-0. Crazy Cowboys victory as well. Tons to get into, so don't go anywhere. It's coming up next on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.
I'm getting on the Arizona Cardinals hype wagon.